to break away from the prison. We go back to Luke chapter 4 verse 18. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. What does the word of God says? I want you to remember this. You know, every week I'm going to say this. Every week we come back, we are going to remind ourselves of what is that verse says. So can somebody read aloud? Verse 18, can somebody read aloud? It must be inside us. It must be transformed inside us. The word must become rhema in our life. If the word becomes alive in our life. So chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 verse 18. What does it say? I want you all to read loud together. Can we all read loud together? Amen. Amen. Continue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because to preach the gospel to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ read this in the synagogue when he early morning when he went up there to go into the synagogue as normal as people. He took up the scriptures and he started reading this. And our scripture is based on he is set free, set people free. But Christians today are still in the light of not knowing the Lord, because we know the Lord has set us free. But we are still in the time of darkness. We are still in the form of prison. There are different forms of prisons we get into. There are different forms of things that we are embodied into that we cannot come out. We cannot break out from it. So one of that we discussed last week was, 2 weeks ago was, what was that? Anybody remember? What was that we desired? We talked about last 2 weeks ago. Hello? Nobody's listening. Hello, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, only 14 days ago, add one more day, 15 days. Oh, depression. Depression is a form of captivity we get into. Knowingly, unknowingly, we go into depression and we don't come out of depression. And throughout our lifetime, the depressive mode, the spirit of depression will still continue to be a prisoner that he will hold you, a prison that holds you into his captivity. Right? We learned about that last week. So today I'm going to talk about something which all of us have gone through. If there's a man in this world who has not gone through this, and I think there's something wrong somewhere. Today we want to break free from failures. Amen. Failure is something that we all have been through. Failures have many people in small ways or big ways have gone through failures in our life. Failures is something that we do not know that sometimes we keeps us all the time imprisoned. Failing, stumbling, failing in something which we did sometimes back in our life, or in experience, in various different kind of experience, and degree of failure is different from every time you see people falling. There is a small failure, there's a big failure, there's a huge failure, there is another one, they call it, the world has come down on them. That's another failure. Alright? So failures varies in different forms, and failures is something that always reminds us in our mind, reminds us and always sets us into a captivity, a prison that does not make us move forward in life. It does not want to hear what Jesus said. Jesus said, I've come to release people from captivity. We don't want to hear that because that word is a rhema word. That word is a life word. It's a word from the Son of the Living God, and it's word from God Himself because it is written in Isaiah 61. Amen. So it has been written, it has been said by God that this is something that God wants to do. The desire of God is to release people from captivity. So we must come out of captivity. There is no man who can stand, including me, and say, I did not have a failure. You talk about failures. I think it is because of failure, God allowed failure. Today I can stand before you as a pastor. Otherwise, I'll be out there as a millionaire. I will not want to see any one of you. It's because of failure, God has changed hearts of people. If you take it in the light of God. But if you take it in the light of the world, you'll still contain it and keep it throughout a lifetime with vengeance. With a spirit of depression, with a spirit of failure which encamps you, everything else you do does is always a failure. Right? There are many types of business. Business failures, job failures. People have got so many different things about in life. The risk, whenever we take risk, there is sometimes a failure. Right? You take a risk, it's a failure. How many of you are businessmen here? Can you just put up your hands? How many times that was failure? How many of us are parents? We always wanted something in our children, and we tell something to our children, and we tell them and tell them, tell them, because we have seen that failure, we don't want to do the same thing again. But sometimes it repeats. Right? Everybody has got failures in our life. If I tell my son, you know, don't come back late, it's difficult times at times, the fellas will be out there, you know, sometimes could be some gangsters. I remember 2 years ago, I had to go and pray for a man. The guy just was walking, a student was going and walking, and there was a big fight. He went and looked at the fight, and he walked away from the fight, and went out from the crowd. People chased after him for no reason. He was murdered. Can you just imagine? So we tell them out of it. So I've known something. I don't want you to fail in your life. So we get anxious about our things. We'll talk about a little bit more. Proverbs 24 verse 16. What does it say? For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The righteous man is supposed to fall 7 times. The word of God says a righteous man will fall. He may fall. Right? He may fall 7 times, but he will rise up. He'll rise up. He'll bounce back. But a wicked one will fall by calamity. Even the failure will be a calamity for the person, and he'll be doomed for after that when a wicked person falls. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. If a man does not even stumble, even sometimes we stumble in word. There are many of us who stumble in word. We have promised many times, we have never kept a promise. A failure. Right? Words that came out as failures. Condemnations. It's all failures. Condemnation is one of those failures that you have experienced. You emphasize it by word. That is wrong. So we will want to find out how today God wants to release us. Release us from the captivity of failure. Failure is something that has been brought forth into our life. Sometimes we will find that failure is always keeping us at doomsday and keeping us at bay from the blessings of God in our lives. Right? These failures, the number of failures that we walk, sometimes we have small failures like driving tests. How many of you have failed driving tests for the first time? Oh, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, you're honest people. Right? How many of us fail examinations many times? There's one who's standing here. Right? Fail once and after you take again. Right, fail again. This subject fail again, you take again. Never mind. See, failure does not stop us from rising up. Failure does not stop us from going. But some of them keep this failure inside them and keep them inside their captivity and becomes part of their life. That is what we want to deal today with. There are many types of failures. Failures can also lead to depression, can lead to suicidal. Failure also can lead to so many things else. Failure in life. Failure in the walk of life. Failure in marriages. Failure in relationships. Failure even in your church. You try to become good in a church, and the church becomes a condemned place for you. So it's a failure. So you don't want to go to church again. You feel that a church person in the pastor or a person who says something, and you are a failure in the church, you do not rise up to the expectation of people, then it's also a failure. People have got different forms of failure. One of the many forms of failure, let's see. There are expressions of failure that are not easy to shake off. There are many expressions of failure that cannot be shaken off. They leave a negative residue that keep in us in bondage and captivity unless we consciously seek to invite God into our life. Without God, without the Spirit of God, failures will always remain failures in the world. The world, when it is condemned as failure, it stands up here, you're a failure. And you come to break out. I know many men who have been failure in the businessmen. Out of ego, out of things, they come out and they are doing very well. But I know a man who also goes back after that. There is some kind of punitive actions in the family because he does not know the Lord. Because I know, I went to Sarawak recently when I prayed for this group of people. They could be very rich. They'd be very rich. From a failure, from bankruptcy, he bounced back. But he does not know the Lord. See, there is some form of things that happens in a family which keeps them captive. And he is still a captive of failure. He becomes a captive of failure. Remembering always failure. Man. To many people, the failure ends up them sitting at a roadside and sitting down and saying, oh, I am a failure. You take self-pity on yourself, you're a failure, and sit down, you see life pass by, and you don't move in life. You sit down and watch life go, because you're set into that failure, and many of them sit. In counseling, I found many of them who are a failure, have got so many emotional problems, they come and sit down, what happened to you? Oh, this day I did, I know it's a failure. I go there, it's a failure. I know my father expects me to be there, I'm a failure. I didn't fulfill his thoughts, his ambitions. I didn't fulfill my mother's ambition. You know, I come, I get married, I don't fulfill my wife's ambition. Failure. Every time, one after another is a failure, because that captivity in our conscience, our emotion has not been broken. Bear in mind, always remember Luke chapter 4. Verse 4, verse 18 says what? He came to release captives from captivity. Not the prisoners in the prison only, but every captive he has come to release them out of captivity. Some of the people who I know of have gone through in the failure in the Bible. I would like to go through some of them. I believe we can relate with them, some of them. But definition of failure, what is a failure? To fall short of, to be in wanting. Definition of failure is to fall short of. See, there was an expectation of somebody, you fell short of the expectations. You have an expectation of the father, I have an expectation of my son. So if it becomes because my son, I've thrown failure, I have an expectation, he must excel well in his examination, he must do well in his studies. I have an expectation, because without that he can't go on much. But nowadays there's another book which calls, I don't want to talk about the name of the title of the book, there's a Japanese American who has written a book, and he says, no, don't need to study. You can be rich tomorrow. Don't follow the father who's been a very studious man. Follow the man who was a businessman who did not even study at all. I wouldn't want to mention names, okay? You know who the other person is. And people are captured. Thousands and millions of the books are sold. And people get hyped on it. You see this man, Papa, my son came and told me, you see, Dad, you're asking me to go after. You see this man, he became so rich, you know. He didn't even study. Let's go, no, oh, there is somebody in this world, in Malaysia, no. Do you know the man who owns the Federal Hotel? He was a char kway teow salesman, no. Today, you see how rich he is. And another person says, you see Genting Island, no. How the man become? He's another man. Papa, Dad, you know, don't stress us out, la. Be cool. I say, son, your results are not good enough. How are you going to be? We're not doing very well. I hope he's not here today anyway. Your results are not so good. No. He says, cool la papa. This is not the final exam. Why you get so excited about? Final exam, you see your son how he does. You know, I believe all of you have got to say, there is an expectation out of everybody. There is an expectation from a husband to a wife. People are fall short. They feel they are failures in that expectation of the person. Right? That's one form of expectation and failure. There are people who have not only fallen short, there are people in want. They want to be like that. They want to be this. I want to be that. I have a desire to be this. So the want is still not fulfilled. They always get somewhere in between, and the layer stops them, and every kind of authority or whatever it is stops them. They can't go. The want is there. When you're a salesman, you want to be the best salesman in the world. You want to be the best salesman in your company. You want to be the best. You are a manager, you want to be the best among all the branch managers. You want to receive the award, the best branch manager. Right? But many times you can't make it, but somebody makes it. And the want is still there, and you feel failure every time. First time, second time, third time, after fourth time, you feel, let's not try it again. It's useless of persevering. Useless of doing something in this branch. You know, others will take it somewhere or other. You give up. Because that's in want all the time. One form of failure. The second form of failure is to prove deficiency under trial or pressure. You're pressured by somebody. When you're pressured in somebody, let's say in a church, they say we're pressured. No, we must study the word of God. You must know the word of God. You know, this pastor is pressuring too much. I can't even remember. You know my age or not? I'm only 30. And I can't remember. You know, I'm already old, not 30 years old. They call me 30 years old, not 30 years young. So if I'm 30 years old, I must think like old man or old woman.
So I don't remember lah. But this pastor, when he comes, don't you remember? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. What does it say? We don't know. So this pastor is pressuring. So pressure, are you out of pressure, you get a failure. Because I can't stand to the pressure of the pastor, I have become a failure because I can't remember word of God. So there are failures that is because of your pressure. Pressure, sometimes you work under pressure. Some people like to work in pressure, only then they can be successful. Some people cannot work under pressure because they become a failure. Right? That's a different form of pressure. There are sometimes, failure can also come in a misachievement. I remember many years back, I was given a task to do. I was the man in charge of all the branches of Malaysia. It's an organization. I was in charge of all the branches in Malaysia and also overseeing and collaborating with overseas people. And a time came, I was given a task. And I misconceived the task. Right? The committee gave me a task and I said, oh, you are able to do this? Since you are in charge of them, do this. So I missed the misconception. And out of that, I missed what they said. And the result came out to be different. And I turned out to be a failure on the day. I sank. When the whole committee sat down and I was sinking and I said, what is the result? It's not what we want. And everybody looked at me and I says, wow, staring look. Oh, I missed them. I missed my these things. I missed the point and I became a failure. I did not show my proof to these people. Became a failure. You just imagine your heart sinks and then suddenly your whole body tend to cool down and your bones tend to go down a little bit. And then your head comes down, looking at the feet, no longer looking at the eyes of the people. So these are signs that you've been a failure at a time of a time where you feel that you missed that point and you miss and people become failures too. Amen? Sometimes, ouch, we tend to have all this. These failures, we don't recognize them. There are failures that we have in our spirit man. Disappointment and desertion. There are people who are disappointed. Failure because you expect some people, as a leader sometimes, you know, you expect people, like even in churches, we expect people to do this, this leader to do that. And at the end of the day, you don't find everything working in order. Then you find disappointed and you feel a failure towards God sometimes. Even a failure in the things that are disappointment in the family too. There could be a disappointment. Is it hot? I'm really, really hot. The Holy Spirit is moving mightily. Catch it. So if there is a failure like that, we must relate it today. I want you to be related today. So as we pray today, as we understand what's failure like, don't think that you are a failure in life. God did not create someone to be a failure. Say after me. God did not create me with enthusiasm. God did not create me and send His Son to redeem me. Because I'm a failure. Or to be a failure. I am a success. I will never be failing. Failure is behind me. I look forward for what purpose God has done for me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So God has got a purpose in our life and we will want to see the failure, no longer failure, but we want to see breakthroughs in failure from today. If there is a spirit of failure, if there is anything that is remnant in us, we would like to take it out today. But before that, we would like to see the people who are in the Bible who also were a failure. Do you know how many of them were the failure in the Bible? Man, let's look at one person. Adam. Adam was entrusted to manage what was given. What was the word of God said when he was created? I've created everything for you. Manage them. Eat all that you can. And you become a master of all this. Did God say that? When he failed, what happened? When Satan came into that garden, somebody was not supposed to, so was not invited, he came inside and deceived and failed. And when he failed, what happened? He failed, there was a failure inside him that what was entrusted to him, he failed indeed. He was entrusted
to manage, to be the master of every one of them, but is subdued to Satan. God's creation is also Satan. We are a master of everything. So we cannot say we subdued to Satan. Because Adam subdued, he had some problem. Verse 8, chapter 3, verse 8, Genesis. Can somebody turn? Chapter 3, verse 8, Genesis. Read with me. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. Out of shame, out of disappointment, out of the thing that they've been entrusted in, they went out and hid themselves. What was the response of a failure? Hiding away from failure. Hiding away from the righteousness. Hiding away from success. God is success. Everything God created was a success. What God says came to pass. What God said came to be being. He is a God of being. He is a God of success. When he said, let there be light, there was light. So failure cannot stand before the God of light and purpose and light and righteousness. So he had to hide himself. Because of that, till today, many of us have a failure. Many people have the failure in their life, and they still hide themselves in many areas of life. Amen? Whatever it is, you could have failed in something. Well, you want to do something like that again. If the project is given, no, this is not for me. You run away from that assignment. If you've been a failure in paying mortgages, every time your house mortgage has been all failure and your house was repossessed and auctioned, you don't rise up, you will never want to take a mortgage again to buy a house. It's a failure. Do you understand? That's the kind of failure. He runs away from failure. He runs away from the success. So he doesn't want success in his life any longer. Number two, Moses. Moses, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15, he ran away from what he did. He thought that by killing this man, the slave driver, he thought that he has messed up the whole situation. He ran away because his own brother asked him, who are you to lord over me? Who gave you the right to lord over me? He thought he messed up. He ran away from them. So we run away from the failures. We don't want to do anything else again. God has to later on come back and talk to him and talk to him. And he gave 10 reasons why he cannot become a success, because God said to him, you go and bring my people out. And God says, this man says, no, I'm not right man. Why? He finds excuse. 10 excuses he found not to go and save the people of Israelites. Because he found there is a failure there. He failed in them. He failed the Israelites. He ran away. Many of us run away too. Not hide away, but this time run away from it. Sometimes there could be a failure in marriage. People don't want to go back to marriage again. Sometimes there could be a failure in relationship. They don't want that relationship to be back again. Sometimes there could be a failure in something that you have done before. And you're a failure. You don't want to go back to that kind of job again. A failure. Maybe you're a salesman before. You failed in salesmanship. You don't want to take salesmanship again. You could be a failure in managing people now. Then you don't want to run away from it. Wherever there is a job application which is given to you as what you were before you failed in, you run away from it. There are people who do that. Moses is one of them. It's a great man. Moses, we talk about the father who gave the laws. The father of the Jews, they call himself, right? The Jews say, this is my father. Moses ended out laws. He is the father of laws. He himself ran away, deserted. He deserted the people. Because of desertion, you can also feel failure. He deserted the people. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. He feels that he has failed his forefathers. Elijah felt when he went around, and when Jezebel came after him and said, no, I'll save you, he fell, ran away, and he said that, no, I'm no good, God, I'm no good. Take my life away. I'm no better than my forefathers. The fathers before him, they have failed. There is failure in every leader, in the leadership of the failure. In the Old Testament, you'll find many of them failed before Elijah. And Elijah says, I have failed now, God.
I failed you because I've, like my father, run away from my failure. Because this woman now come and threaten me. Failed. Failed away from, because he ran away from God's presence and the work of God. So that is why he felt he was no better than any of his forefathers. There are times that in our life, we can be a failure in our life. Our forefathers, my father was a guy, I told you all, as a farmer, a laborer. That does not make another person, as children, should be a failure, should be a gardener, or it can be further up also. God can also give you. Okay, God has failed it somewhere. If my forefathers failed somewhere, but my father was good. He came to Malaysia from India. Right? He had the spirit of venturing outside. He came here. So I believe that spirit will be there. So God, because you compare, you cannot compare yourself with the forefathers, the people before you, and say, because they failed, I also am like that. Take my life away. We get disappointed in life. We give up our life. But God has to speak to this man. Amen. Another person, a failure in the New Testament, is Peter. Peter, the silly man, the man is always vocal. We call it the man, you know, is like cashew nut, you know. Cashew nut, because the nut goes before the fruit. The fruit is like that. Supposed to, all the fruit, supposed to, the nuts are supposed to be inside the fruit. This one, the cashew nut comes outside before the fruits. The Indians have got a saying, you know, you like a cashew nut going out. You always want to go in front and try say something. So he was a man like that. Anything that's got some God, Jesus says, he'll be like that, now going out in front and saying something. Right? Have you seen a cashew nut fruit? Cashew fruit? The fruit, the cashew nut you're eating is not inside. It is actually outside. It comes outside. So he says, anyone who comes outside and not before the fruit inside, so you like cashew nut fruit. Cashew nut. So you try to be before the fruit. You don't want to be inside the fruit, but you want to be before the fruit. So this man, Peter was like that. And he always found himself, God rebuked him in so many times. And he's the same man who said that you are the Lord, Son of the Lord, Son of God. And the same man denied Jesus Christ 3 times. 3 times. And he found failure. Luke chapter 22, verse 62 says what? He was bitter. He was bitter. There was a bitterness in failure. That bitterness was inside him and grounding him and grounding him, grounding him, that Jesus Christ has to come back again and ask him again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know, Lord, I love you so much. Because Jesus was trying to exercise to remove the spirit of bitterness of failure. There was a bitterness because of failure. The Word of God says so. So Peter has to be redeemed before he does his work. He cannot manifest in the Spirit of God unless Jesus Christ redeemed him, removed that captivity he was in, the bitterness, the prison of bitterness. So bitterness has to be removed. There are some of us, because of failure, we are bitter. Bitter with ourselves, bitter with the people around us, bitter with people, because sometimes in business, I went in business, there are a lot of people who caused my failure because I entrusted them. I was so bitter for so many years. Very bitter. It's not 1 ringgit, 2 ringgit, no. It's hard-earned money, millions. So you were very bitter for seeing people taking the money away and you're living like a pauper. It's hard-earned. And yet you'll find, in this bitterness, God has to release me out of the bitterness that can forgive the person. There was a time when I met one of them in a hotel in Kelantan. And I met him, I came out. I came down to get something and he was checking out from the hotel. I said, what are you doing here? He thought I'll be very bitter with him, probably clobber him down that day. But I just smiled at him. How are you doing? How's your family? That's all. So there was a release of that bitterness by Jesus Christ. The moment I came to know the Lord removed that bitterness. But some of us still carry on as a Christian with that bitterness. If you have that bitterness, the sign is you'll always talk about it. You'll always talk about it. Even anything you say, you'll have bitterness. Bitterness comes out of, you know, you talk about it. If it's a person that you're bitter with, you'll talk about the person every now and then. You'll give example about the person about and then. Not say, I love my children, no. I give example because I want to see that I don't want to give somebody else's example. Bitterness, because of bitterness, you'll say everything, anything about the person. So you talk about it. So if you have that kind of spirit today, let it go today. Amen? Amen? Let it go. There are bitterness. We are bound to have bitterness. But bitterness should not be able to. He was bitter because he was really behind Christ. Wherever Christ went, he went. He's the same man. He says, Lord, don't wash my feet. No, you should not go up the cross. I will go up for you. He stood by everything what he said. So he said his love was so much. And the man who was so bitter, Jesus knew his heart and released him out of that bitterness. And today we are to be released from bitterness. Amen? Till today we are people who are grappling with a lot of negative emotions of shame because of failure. Shame because of failure. Right? I was one of them who was shamed because I failed in my companies. 7 companies I had, only one company was able to sell out. The other companies were failure. Everyone, I didn't want to move around with people who are businessmen. I don't want to move around the circle. I don't want to go to the Slango Club any longer. I don't want to go to Lake Club any longer. Why? There are friends who will look at me as a failure. So you have that kind of emotional problems in ourselves, our lives. So emotional problems, confidence, the guilt that you have. There are people who entrusted you with money and you probably blew that money out. It became a failure. Right? There are shareholders who gave that money. James, it's because of you, I give you the money, no problem. Any business will be all right. But there are people you've disappointed. Shame and guilt of failure. Discouragement. There was so discouragement. I was so discouraged that I didn't want to do any business. Anything to do with, I'm just giving an example. I don't want to take example from you all. It's a true example that anything that to do with business, I didn't want to do it. There were opportunities that came to before me, right in front of me. I know I can make money. I didn't want to do it because there was a bitterness, discouragement inside me. Discouraged. And you regret. You tend to regret at times. Why did this all happen? Why should it be me? You regret. If you get this kind of emotional upheavals, we want to lay it down today. Amen? We want to lay it down today. There must be a deliverance God is going to do today. There must be a release of this bondage today. There must be a release of this prison, getting out of this prison, breaking out of this prison today. Amen? Failure was real. Failure is really real. And it's really hurting. Failure is really real and hurting. And you tell me about failure in love. Wow. I can tell you one or two. Right? You fall in love and suddenly you're a failure. Your heart breaks out. I think some of you all know my secret. Earth can quake. You do not know what earth is quaking. And you are in the condominium and crying out, my love gone already. And suddenly you'll find the earthquake. You feel it shaking. Oh Lord, I cried so much until I'm now like, dizzy already. I'm going to fall down. Little while you hear somebody, all the people shouting from outside. And you see, what's happening? Go out and see. Everybody's, hey, why are you standing up there? It's earthquake. Come down. That's heartbreak. You lose senses of direction. You lose senses of the world. You lose senses of your being itself. When your heart is broken in failure of love, can you just imagine how much more Jesus would have felt when every one of them deserted him? The one whom he fed, the one whom he healed, the one whom he fed again and again, the one whom he has blessed, the one whom has brought back to life. How much more would have been for him to his heart be broken? We have got emotional problem, yes. Much more is God's emotional problem for us. Amen? God has got a word for us today. God has got a word. God, nothing can stand by. Nothing can, you can be not successful. Brother, you are here. I don't know what's your name behind Brother Ang. God is going to do something in your life, brother. Brother with a checked shirt, the green shirt. God is going to do something. God is going to heal you, really raise you up mightily. You're a man who will move mightily in many countries. You do not know your capacity. You do not know wife's capacity. Sister, you are a woman of God. God is touching your heart. God is going to give you something in your heart. It's the presence of God. You seek the word of God so much, and God's presence will be mighty in you. Whatever you touch will turn to gold. And whatever you speak to anybody, people's heart will be changed. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Brother, you're sitting beside Brother Ang. God is giving you no longer failure. What have been striving on a personal thing, God will give you a breakthrough in your life now. Amen? What have been struggling for 1.5 years, 1 year, 7 months exactly, God says, I will release it out of you. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. God has got a word for us.
God has got a word for us. The word is that we should not be sitting down onto the under the failures. We should be moving on from failures. We should be moving on from failures so that we will know that God is a God of releasing abundance, releasing out of things. No more that chain of reactions that we'll have in our life. No more the chain reaction will affect us that failure was once and that because of the failure, I can hold on to this. Because of the emotion, God is holding on to it. God says, I'm going to release it out from you today onwards. Amen? There won't be any more. Because we come imprisoned in these emotions. We don't want to be imprisoned in this emotion. Some form of expressions of failure is failing to make wise decisions at the right time. Number one, you tend to make, because of failure, you don't make wise decisions in your life. Whenever there's a decision coming, you shy away from making decisions. Why? You made a decision before and you failed. One of the signs of people who still have got this struggling and this emotion, failure, we don't make right time decision and struggling with the consequences. After not making the right decision and the thing turns out well, I should have done it. I should have gone in it. I should have done it. That one came to me. You regret. That's a sign. Because you did not make a wise decision. And you didn't go into it. And after it is done already, I should have gone in it. That's kind of one of those things. Number two, marriage situations. Failures in life, you tend to be, anger will be one of those things which is in your marriage. For so no reason, anger will be one of them. In marriage, you'll find that you always want to see what you fail. You don't speak it out, but you always keep it in your heart. And you expect the other partner to know what you have said. You expect the partner, your life partner, to understand telepathically, oh, James, you have got this, I will adjust to it. We must express it out from the mouth. Marriage will always be a problem. If you have got failures in life, if you've got failures in love life, you'll always have a suspicious mind. A suspicious mind. When is my spouse going to move out? Oh, she's gone out there. Hey, who is he with? Oh, he's gone out there. Who is he with? Find out. All those things you've got in heart, that is somewhere in your life has got a failure and in problems, that your marriage is struggling. It might not be struggling, but there are times the moods will come that you overcome with moods. And these moods are moods of suspicion, moods of failure. What was the failure before? It becomes manifesting in your life, in your marriage life. Sometimes as parents, you get angry. I get angry when my sons don't meet their expectations because I fail there. If I don't pay attention to certain things in life, I fail. So you tend to be angry. Anger overtakes you. Wisdom does not come at a time. Anger comes first. Because you're angry about your failure, not about his failure. Hello? You're angry about your failure. Your reflection is the moment you've done this. Oh, if you do this, I've done this exactly the same. And I fail. You don't fail. We don't reason out. We don't sit down, that also was going through this problem. I went through this. I took life easy. And after that I had problems. Including me. I'm preaching to myself today. Including me can be also a problem. Suddenly you see your emotions, your failures to reflect the time to act. So you take control and do something about it. God will do the rest. Amen? In managing your children, you will have certain kind of failures in your life. There are certain things you apprehended. You would have hurt somebody or close somebody who is very close to you or a family member whom you love so much has had gone through this failure. You will tend to impose it upon your children. The relationship becomes very tight. Though, you don't make right investment opportunities that come. Sometimes investment comes to you. If you have been an investor, the investment comes right for you. And you know it's right, but because you are not sure, because of the earlier failure, your reflection, you will not want to invest, especially with money. If you're a failure with money, you'll be a kind of reservation that you're very careful about it and you will start. And after that, when it happens right, you'll be, how? I remember a few years back, the Lord gave me a word even before the gold price went up. 1 year before the gold price or something like that. I think some of you recorded it will know. The gold price, the Lord stood. I was standing here. And I think I was standing here on an overnight prayer. It was the Lord says, the gold price will go up the highest ever before in the history of gold. And some of them took it, went in. Immediately there, the next day itself, two of them I know of, went and bought so much of gold. And they kept it. Without telling me.
Then later on, as the price went up, and the price went up, and the price went up, the third price went up, the third time I remember it jumped up, somebody went inside. And then somebody else went inside the caravan later and later. So the first person who put inside, he says, look, I get more harvest than you. And he says, I should have taken it. I should have taken it. The day the word came, I should have taken it. You know, investment, because you're so careful. But if you believe the word of God, it comes. I don't say you don't go and invest everything what I say here, no. Hello? After, Pastor, I shoot you down, no? I got one sister here who always like to love to shoot people. All right? So, after I'm shot down, I cannot preach after that. So, use wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Sometimes, even to have a child, you will be also problematic. You know why? There could be sometimes a question. The last one is, you're questionable. Always you ask questions. Whether this child will be able to. Because of the question, some of them become barren. Why? There was an abortion before. A failure in child growing in your tummy. In your womb, sorry. There are mothers I know of. It's not because they don't want to have children. It's because of the fear, the failure of the earlier child in the womb makes the person be careful in the decision they make to have a child. Your question always questionable. Every decision you make about yourself is always questionable. You question everything. You question everything in your life. Everything. Especially those people who have gone through problems with child, women who have gone through with abortion and all issues. Or even miscarriage. One miscarriage, two miscarriage, third miscarriage, and they said, no more, I give up. Failure. And every time they try to conceive, they have no more heart. And they already decided this will go off. But I know a person who has had so many miscarriages, a countless miscarriages, because when the child is conceived, immediately she knows, refers, it is also another one. Right? So failure makes a decision. Your question is always questionable. He said, God has given me a word, it will definitely be true. But no, the mind says so, no. Okay? And people who have got problems in this emotional problems, who have already gone through failure, are people who cannot handle crisis. You cannot able to handle crisis. When there's a crisis, whether it's home, in your office, or in anywhere else, you can't handle the crisis. You find crisis becomes a big mountain or big, huge hill for you out there. The highest gunung, what is this? Mount Everest right in front of you. That you know you cannot go up. You'll have frostbite, you'll give all excuses. Right? There are people who can't handle crisis because of their past experience in life and failures. The negative failures actually poisons one's outlook in life. The negative failure poisons the outlook in life. Everything becomes failure. Second thing, what it does is it also blames God, blames the self, blames God, and blames the people around you. And becomes cynical of people who are successful. Very cynical of people who are successful. You see somebody successful, this one, but no, the cable they pull, you know, the string, very strong string, Oh, this one, because the pastor prayed for, okay, ready, You know, that kind of mentality should be removed. They'll have that kind of cynical, very cynical about people who are successful. Oh, they had favor, they have rich family and all those things. They don't see the success of a person, but they will see, they're always cynical about it. All this has to be dealt with today so that people can be successful. All these emotions has to be dealt today. So that we can know Jesus came here to take away this kind of failures in our life. Amen? We cannot be imprisoned by this kind of failures. We lock ourselves down and lock our life down into our life, and we put ourselves and say, this is our measure of our life. This is 12 feet, 10 feet, and another 12 feet this side. And 10 feet. And the height is 10 feet. That's your room. So you lock yourself inside a room, and you say, you cannot come out. You've got one bed, and one probably whatever you have, bathroom attached. That's your life. You lock yourself into your life, and you don't see the things outside. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. Amen. The Son of Man, Jesus himself says, the Son of Man did not come to destroy people's life, but to save them. So he reaffirms what he read in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He reaffirms and tells you, now, Son of Man, here I'm telling you, did not come here to destroy anybody's life, but to save every person out of everything they are in. So today, let's go on and know that God is going to move forward today and we'll be saved and leave the past behind. And the emotions of failure will be crushed today. Every spiritual activity that is attached to it will be crushed today. Amen? Every memory that is attached today will be crushed today. He did not just come here and just redeem you, but he came here to heal you, cure you, right? He came here to preserve you. He came here to rescue from the dangers and destructions. He came not only to forgive. If you're fallen down, God is going to pull you up and come up here. Because you're still in the prison. You're down. He's going to pull you out today and come you out. If you are now not fit and you find now that needs a transformation, God is going to do a transformation today. The transformer in the TV, but this is a transformation. You really see yourself, not a robot. Amen? You won't see a robot. You'll see a live person today being transformed. If James is to be transformed, God will just massage everywhere around this and transform you today. Amen? The best massage is from the Lord. Amen? Praise God. So to release this, what do we do? Number one, release our problem, our failure to God. Number one. Release. You must release. If you don't release, if you don't release that persons around you, if you don't release that the barriers that's around you, you cannot come out of the barrier. Somebody stronger than you must be able to take over the barriers. Who is stronger than you? Is your father? Your father is getting older. The muscles becoming weaker. Mother cannot also becoming older. Also muscles weaker. Who is the best person? You can get the best army man here. You know, he's still not the best. Because the prison walls are so big, so thick. Only God can crush him. The same Jesus Christ who crushed the Satan, crushed the head of the serpent, he is the only one who can crush it. Amen? So today, as we speak today, first of all, we want to release it to the God. Unless we release it to God, we cannot have that release out of God. You know, every time we read, you know, chapter Luke chapter 4, verse 18, oh, comes to release. Does it mean to us? How does it become part of us? How does it become a rhema word? No longer a logos word. A word which is a word. But it becomes alive in our spirit. And my spirit now is become matured and becomes birth. And is now conceived, pregnant, and becomes alive. A rhema word should conceive. Just like a woman getting conceived by a child. This is a child which is coming out. A child of freedom. Amen. A child, the spirit that comes out, is a spirit of freedom. God's spirit, the word that he speaks, becomes a word which frees you from all those prison. Amen? The only one who can actually take you away from the prison is God himself. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Proverbs 28 verse 13. Anyone? Can somebody turn to it? He who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Amen. Whoever has got this inside, confess it. Confess it. Yes, I agree. I have got it. The problem is that we do not agree to it. We are shying away. We are running away. Just like Adam ran away and hide behind the trees. We run away to another place like Moses ran. The moment we talk about the weakness of yourself or a person, they will run away. They will change subject and go to another subject. We must release it. Yes, I admit I have it. And I want to release it today. Amen? 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 So we want to release it today. So first of all, first action is to release it to God. And you must say, yes, Lord, I have a problem. I want to release it today. If you don't admit the problem, remember I told you, one of the conditions of getting out of a prison is to plan. Prisoners don't just come out and just jump out of the thing. They plan how to come out of a prison. Alright? They take years to plan. But now first plan is number one, to release it, admit, yes, I'm in a prison. I want to get out of this prison. And I want to release this prison to God. Amen? So first of all, we admit. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we in time of need, when you go there and God says he will not forsake you, he says he's got the grace. He's the one who overcame every problem of ours. He's the one who overcame everything, every temptation, and he was still spotless, without a sin. Would you not have any grace for us? Surely enough, you'll have grace for us. Surely enough, you'll have mercy for us if we only admit. Amen? If you look at the man who's a young man in Matthew chapter 19, you'll find this man, a young rich man came and told him, God, teacher, how do I go to heaven? And he gave everything else. And God knew the heart of the man. He doesn't want to, he was hiding from what, he was camouflaging of the laws that he has fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying? He camouflaged himself. I have done all these things. I should be going to heaven now. And Jesus just brought his down ego down. Knows his desire, camouflage. What was secret in his heart was what? Go and sell everything that you have and follow me. And you can reach, you can be in the kingdom of God. So God has knows his ulterior motive. We are hiding like this man. This man, rich man, we hide with the things. Yes, I come to church. I'm a Christian. But inside us, there is something which is not known by others. But only Jesus will know. Amen? It's voluntary today. Yes, Lord, I know. Yes, Lord, I'm selling it off. I'm selling all this thing off. I'm just giving it up all today. And I will come and follow you. Amen? Then there is something God can do. And this man, because he walked away, sad that he don't want to give it up. That his sins, the secret part of his heart was exposed. He went away. He did not get what God wanted to give him. Today, let's expose that secret part of ourselves. Let's not make excuses and camp around the failures and being in a failure. Let's not excuse anymore. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Everything that God has put into your failure can now work to the betterment of yourself. Because I accepted, I'm willing to say even what I went through in my life before the pulpit, it's because of that God is willing to do something in my life. I know that every one of us are not perfect people. But God in the perfectness, God knows your weakness. And if you confess and say, Lord, yes, this is my weakness and I want to convert it. I want to give it to you. And God will do the rest all on his own. Everything shall work for the good of a good man. Amen? A righteous man. If you're righteous in things, our heart, everything shall work perfectly good. Everything. Our failures now will become a success. A failure for Joseph in the Pharaoh's time. Joseph's failure first became a success for him. Every time he was in the prison, he didn't accept the prison where he was in as a prison. He felt that was his service there. And he came out of the prison. And when he came out of the prison, he was a very successful man. Most freest man in the whole city. Or a whole country of Egypt. He was free to go anywhere. Wherever he walked, there is people who will accompany him. Horses, chariots will accompany him. Why? Because he was able to understand the freedom of God at that time. He was freed from the prison that he was in. So let's free ourselves and walk with experience. Our heart should be here to please God, not to please man. But to only please God. That is the only ulterior motive we have in our heart. Our motive is now today to give everything that we have. Secretly we have. Every failure, everything that we have, we build up. There are anger sometimes I too personally have with my sons. Because I know I want my flesh to be successful. But we have to let it go today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Number two. Rebuild and restore your soul. Why your soul is important? What is the soul made of? Soul is made of emotions, your mind, and your will. So your soul is the one which is hurt. It's not the spirit that is hurt. The failure was recognized by your soul, your emotions, and your mind. And because your mind and your emotion say so, you are a failure, your will becomes dormant at times when it comes to seeing the things that you failed before. Can I repeat that? Because your mind and your emotions recognizes failure, it is hurt. And your will becomes dormant when the times when you face another person or another failure before you. That is why you cannot go forward. If I was a failure in a relationship, so I will not go forward in relationship any longer. Because why? My mind, my emotions tells me I'm a failure in relationship. Now my will to pursue a relationship is blocked. Do you follow what I'm saying? So your will must be intact. Because your will, God wills you to go, but your will says no. God says, no, I've released you. No. God says again loudly, no, can you read again? Chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse. All right, at least you remember that. And God says, read it. I told you. And I reaffirmed you. No, no. My will says, no, I cannot go. My body cannot move forward. She can also, Ayonola. I have a problem. But become a relationship, I have a problem. I'm just giving an example, okay? So your will, so important is your rebuild your soul. Your soul should be rebuilt again. How do you rebuild a soul? Our soul should be rebuilt with Word of God. Our soul plays a vital role in our emotions. Our emotions, which goes up and down like a yo-yo, and every time it sees some failure, it suddenly... Have you seen sometimes, you failed in a relationship? I'll tell you one secret. All of you all know that. I was my first girlfriend. And after having a first girlfriend in my life, and I thought I was okay, and it was a failure. The moment I see my first girlfriend every time, my heart starts ringing. She walks by there also. And she goes that side. I see. And I see her in a shopping complex. And you run away. So what happened was, I was reacting to a failure very, very adversely. And I was a motivational speaker. Can you just imagine? Going up there and giving up all the false things and out there, your heart starts beating. How could you live like that? You have to build your mind back again. That was just another person. Maybe she was not fit for me. Huh? All right? She was not good enough for me. God knows. So God has got to rebuild our mind. A person's experience, so the residue worked in me. The residue, although the person is gone in my life, 1 year, 2 years, but the residue still worked in me every time I see the person somewhere. And I see this office the person works to, I don't go enter the whole complex of that building. Because I know my heart is weak. My emotion was weak. Right? So if you have that kind of failures in your life, today we must rebuild it back again. Psalm 23, verse 2. Can every one of us leak? You all know this very well. Psalm 23, verse 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Second verse. He leads me in the... He leads me... down green pastures. Then the other one. He leads me beside still waters. Okay, this one we always must memorize, okay? Let's go and memorize this verse. The other day, you know, Sister Deborah came. She started reciting, you know, without even looking at the Bible. We all should do better, isn't it? We are younger than her, isn't it? Or we are older than her. All right? So we must now recite, okay? Don't say this to Sister Deborah, please. Now, we must learn how to recite this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside green pastures. Whatever God leads us to will be always green and always be fertile, will always be something fresh. Amen. He leads me to still waters. Waters does not rebel and gives waves in our lives. Waters that is still and is peaceful and calm. So shall our emotion shall be peaceful and calm. When first one we give everything to Lord and we surrender and rebuild in the Word of God, the promise of God that He will never do anything that will destroy us, but He will do everything to bring us to green pastures, fresh every day, new every day, and He will give us to still waters,
we don't have to strive any longer. Amen? The promise of God is true, and the truth will always prevail. And who is this still water? Who is this still water? The promise of God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we walk in the Holy Spirit, get the Holy Spirit inside us, ask the Holy Spirit to come into us, come into us, overflow in us. And he says in the same way, my cup overflows. Chapter 23, Psalm. And you see later, he says, my cup overflows. He anoints me with oil, my cup overflows. So the Spirit of God should overflow in us. Then we are stable in our emotions, stable in our mind, stable in our will. So the Spirit of God will be able to contain us, move us towards the right path, the right direction, the right way, so that we will not have a pumping heart when we see a failure. Amen? Praise God. It was not the person who was a failure in my life, but the emotion that went through is a failure. Amen? So we must be able to disable that emotion, disable that the mind by the Holy Spirit. That is why it's always important to renew our mind every time. Renew our mind and every time. And there's no way quenching. Our spirit cannot be quenched. Amen? Let's pray now. Let's all close your eyes and put your hands out like that. Okay? Let's pray for the Spirit of God to touch every one of us. Our soul and mind should be changed. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray. Renew my mind. Set me free from these debilitating negative emotions. Strengthen my soul. Every negative emotions, every negative thoughts of my failure of the past. Holy Spirit, remove it today. For your word says, you lead me to still waters. We claim, Lord, in freshness of the grass which is green, green pastures, we don't see anything of the old. Spirit of God, renew our mind. Renew our emotions. Strengthen our emotions. Strengthen our mind, that our mind shall be guarded from every failure we have gone through in our life. We cancel it by the blood of Jesus Christ. We cancel it by the word of God. We cancel it by the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for removing everything of our failure before. There shall be a strength for us to look forward, knowing that you are guiding us, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. The next thing we would like to see is the third thing that we have to do in getting reset our lifestyle. Reset your lifestyle, your life. How do you reset your life? Change your thinking pattern now. You know you've given it to God. Now, change it now, pattern. Change the thinking pattern. Number one, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. What does it say? You all know very well. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You all should know by heart already by now. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our service is to keep our body, our mind, everything holy before God. Amen? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So now we have to reset our mind. You know, sometimes our clock goes away. Yesterday my clock went away in my car, so I have to reset my time. And this month we did not have 31st day. Some of you have watches with the you have to reset the dates. Same like that you are resetting. Reset our mind today onwards. From today onwards, my mind will not go to failures, will not hinder, will not be harboring on failures any longer, or any emotions of that, or my emotions will not be attached to any failures, but now I'm resetting now. I'm new today. I'm new today, fresh. Reset your mind. Reset your emotions. Break free from negative thinking patterns for your life. Break free from all those negative. Ayo, cannot. All this no more already. Yes, can. If God wills, I will do it. Amen? If God wills, I'll do it. If there is something, a failure in our life, no, God wills, now I'll do it. Because my failure becomes a strength in God's eyes and He'll make me better now. Amen? Amen. Resetting our mindset. Our failure mind should be set to a success mind. A mindset of God which is successful. Mindset of God which says, yes, being, being. What He says, He says. What He says will become being. Amen. So we have to reset that. We have to reset to the mind of God. Jesus reset His mind to His mind of God. He says, as the Father says, I see, I do. So must we do. So as the Father says that, no, there shall be no more dead person. You raise the dead person, you can raise the dead person. If you believe that God is going to give you that anointing of healing and you pray to somebody, anybody, every one of you here has got healing powers. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? How many of you don't believe that? If your brother or sister sitting beside of a headache, just lay hands and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, headache go, will go away. Will surely go away. I said, will surely go away. Why? Because you've reset your mind. Because the authority came from whom? Jesus Christ. He says, go forth, all authority has been given to me. Go forth in the authority that is given to me. So will you have the authority. In my name. He didn't say what? In James' name. He said, in my name, in Jesus' name. You shall cast out demons. Is that right? Is the word right? Is the word conforming to the Bible? If that's so, our mind that we reset will also be the same. In His name that we reset, our mind will be like Christ's mind. Amen? This morning we had a challenge in our church. The computers failed us. I went and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command your computers to come up. The brother didn't want to come up. That did not give me a failure in my heart. I know that the computer didn't work because something's wrong somewhere. It was blocking us from worshipping. The heart that free flowed, when you worship, it should be flowing freely. Now you have to have a small book and you know you have to share a book like that. It is hindrance. Alright? But that should not stop us from worshipping. Amen. That little failure should not stop us from worshipping. If the microphone goes up, I'll shout loudly here. That should not stop us from preaching the word or hearing the word of God. Amen? Nothing should stop us. Our mindset should be changed. Nothing will stop us from moving forward in Christ Jesus. In whom? In Christ. Can you say? In whom? In Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So our mind has got to be reset. We must know that, you know, we have to have a song, a victory song every time. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, 32, sorry, verse 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. Yeah, today we don't have that. Never mind. We can read it loud. Amen? God give us a voice. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is what? Perfect. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is He. Amen. Righteous and upright is He. Amen. So God is giving us today, whatever we can sing that God in anything, in any situation, all things work for good for us. And we in any situation, we praise God and say, yes, God, everything will work together today. Because you're a righteous God. And you are perfect. And everything that we do in your name shall be perfect. Everything that we speak to our mind, it's perfect. Everything that our emotion we speak to, emotions get right now, it'll become perfect like Christ. Christ too had emotional problems. If you go back and check the Bible, you'll see. When He came to the Mount of Olives, He said this very clearly. It's written in the Bible. Father in heaven, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is not. We remember that Jesus Himself went through that time. A time, a point where He has to renew His mind. But Father, it is let your will be done. He said, but Father, let your will be done. In that moment of depression, that moment of failure, He thinks that He's going to go through. He's going to go through a lot of torment. And yet, in that He says, but Father, let your will be done. For which purpose I came here for? So you and I have a purpose. You and I have a purpose. Do you agree with me? Hello? Say amen. It means I only have a purpose. You don't have a purpose? Everyone. You and I have purpose. Amen. So our purpose has to be fulfilled. Just like Jesus came to a crossroad and He says, my flesh is not willing, but my spirit is willing. Father, let your will be done. So will it be so in our lives. as Christ is in us, we shall be able to overcome this failure. The demon of failure will go away from us. Thoughts and emotions of failure will go away from us. Freshing will come. For the word of God says in Psalm, it says, a righteous man shall may fall 7 times, but he'll rise up. He'll rise up. What is your failure? What is your emotion in failure? Set your mind right. The Holy Spirit is like a GPS for us. He'll guide us. You know GPS? Global positioning system. So you can see where you are. So Holy Spirit will tell you, hey, James, your emotion is going back. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Or James, your thoughts are not. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Whenever you go away a little bit, he can confirm back again. Because the Holy Spirit is the GPS for us. The Holy Spirit is the convictor for us. If we are living in the Holy Spirit, reset our mind in the Holy Spirit, our heart in the Holy Spirit, humiliation in the Holy Spirit, everything shall be right because God's purpose will be fulfilled. God's purpose shall be fulfilled. Amen. If you are, if you've got a repetition, your failure is repetitious. Every time you repeat, continue repeating failure, and you still continue stumbling. Although you have given your life to God and you see his mind that you will still keep tumbling. And all you have to do is just don't say that, you know, God, I want to get out of this, but I don't know how to get out of this. You know, Lord, I want to get out of this. I don't know how to. God, I'm struggling with it. If you are repeating your failure every now and then, go back and read chapter 4 of John. What does he say? Chapter 4 of John talks about a Samaritan woman. The Gospel of John talks about a Samaritan woman. A woman who repeatedly fell every time. A woman who repeatedly had husbands one after another. One failure, another failure. Another one failure, another one failure. She continues. She said, failure is my life. Every relationship is my failure. Now I'm saying, I'm not even decided where to marry him because you know why? I'm testing him out. What did the woman say? The Lord said, no. The man you are staying now with is not your husband. Go back and read chapter 4. She has been a failure. What was she doing? I'm testing him out. If he's good, okay, that will be my husband. Maybe for the next 3 years. After I kick him out. She had husbands, 5 of them. And the failure stopped the day she met Jesus Christ. Amen? When did it stop? The day she met Jesus Christ, the failure stopped. And no longer was the failure, spirit of failure, following any longer. Why was it possible with this Samaritan woman? Why is it not possible with us today? It can be possible. Seek the face of God. Seek the face of Jesus Christ. Seek the face of Jesus Christ. Lord, I seek your face, Lord. Lord, you said that I should seek your face. Psalm 27. As you said, I seek your face. Lord, I seek your face today. I would like to seek your face, Lord. Nothing else. In your face, when your face shines upon me, everything else will go away. Amen? Everything else will. So failures are not the things or curse into our life. Failures are not a chain that is put into our life that we have to take this chain out of this, out our body, our neck, our mind, our feet, our hands, and go on freely from today onwards. Amen? Praise God. Sometimes refine failures. When you find that you're repeating, refine failures. What do you mean refine failures? You have to refine failures. Why is that you refine failures? Because you're comparing with others for your failure. Oh, that person has got 2 Mercedes-Benz in the house and 1 Rolls-Royce they already ordered coming on the way. And their bungalow is bigger than mine. That is now 34 square feet. Mine is only about 12,000 square feet. Comparison 34 and or 36 and 12 is 1/3 only. I'm not successful. Because he has done. Oh, he has gone to Oxford University. I went to only Malaya University. Oh, comparison. Define what is failure. If he has gone to university, the meaning university is a university. Right? If it's a college, it's a college. If it's a degree, it's a degree. A degree cannot be a diploma. Can anyone say it's a diploma, it's a degree? What has been said is said. A bungalow with 36,000 square feet does not seem to be big. But I have a house and a family which is bigger than his house. Amen. My heart is bigger than that. So don't worry. I am now, my success is not in the natural things I see beside him, but I see what I have in my bank. Probably the Rolls Royce is ordered now. He owes 2/3 of the cost of the Rolls Royce, or maybe 90% of that. Or the Mercedes-Benz still mortgaged. If you count it down and see how much. Is he really asset worth? Is the house still under mortgage? Mine I've already paid. I'm sitting around free in a terrace house. I'm happy, Lord. Hello? What is success to you? It's redefined success. Success is a man who walks freely in this world without any attachment and have to be obliged to somebody. Is success. Only to God. Amen? A man who still has got a bank loan and is saying, I am not successful. Everybody has got a bank loan. Every person who buys a asset, 10 houses you buy, you still have to take a bank loan. So how do you refine success to yourself? Is by seeing what people own or what people achieved. You redefine your mind again. Your mind has got to come back to conformity of Christ Jesus. Success is eternal life. There is no other success in the world you can ever get except for eternal life. Amen. You can have everything in the world, but you don't have eternal life. What's the use? You can have everything in the world, but your life is not walking right in God. What's the use? So redefine success. You have to go back and ask yourself, what is success to you? What is success to the world? We are of the world. We are not in the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. So success in the world should not be comparison to what we have in what God has promised. Amen? Amen? Praise God. There was a difference within the man who followed him and the rich boy who came to see him. The rich young man who came to see him in chapter 9 of Matthew's. There was a difference with all the other disciples. They did not have anything. They probably sold off everything and walked with Jesus Christ. Some of them were fishermen. Their business no more longer. Peter, probably somebody's running it. How much income does he get? They walked with him. Matthew gave up, no longer a tax collector. Walked with him. So when you're no longer a tax collector, no more income lah. So how did they live? Compare this man who was a rich man who came. And he says, I can go to heaven because I followed everything. But inside him, the pride, not giving up everything, is the fall of his life. Pride of success is also fall of life. Amen? Praise God. So we would not have that. Redefine yourself. Number one, you said just now, we reset our life. A life to reset is to also sometime to redefine our life. And also, if there is repetition in our life, go back and read chapter 4 of John. And the Lord says, the only way to keep your failure out of you, the emotions to come back to you. And the word of God says, you know, he says, if you cleanse the house, if one demon is chased out from the house, a clean house has been there. And you know, 15 other fellows will come back again, stronger than the first one. Does it say that? When he chased out one demon, he says, there will be many others to come back. But here, God gives an assurance, when you are already delivered from all this failures, you should now keep it. How do you keep it? By building others. By testifying, leading others out of failure. Then you can keep yourself out of the failure. Amen. Amen. I'll give you a scripture for that. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22. You can go back and read from verse 21 to 38. It talks about how it starts with Judas. Judas being sitting there and then the devil entered him. The moment said, devil entered him. Right? And to do the will of whatever he has to do. The son of perdition has to do what he has to do. So he has to go off. But you see, there is something that Jesus said there, which really you can see what he has done. But I like this verse in verse 20. Let's take the verse chapter, please, don't mind. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 38. I think it's verse 32. Can you all turn to Luke? Do you all have a Bible there? Please be alert with your Bible today because our computer is merajuk today. The computer wants some attention. Just like people want attention, the computer also wants some attention. We didn't attend to the computer today merajuk. Amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 21 onwards, you go back and read, okay? I want to just focus on one verse.
Let's turn to verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Can you all read together with me? Verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So in other words, Jesus is saying, in order for you to return to me, you've returned from this failure, you're broken free from this freedom of failure, of all kind of failures. You come now, you go and strengthen others who are in failures, who are going through the same thing. So by doing that, you reaffirm what God has done in you. You reaffirm that what is God is for you, and reaffirm that Jesus is praying for you. As he has prayed for Peter, he is also till today interceding for every one of us. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen again. But Jesus is interceding for every one of us. The devil is now accusing. Hey, come on. I'm here. I'm Jesus. That's what Jesus is doing for us. Father. No. What he's saying is wrong. That's what he's doing for us. Because I prayed for you, Peter. Peter was asked. He said, Satan asked for you. You see how Luke starts. He starts with what? When Jesus said something, and the demon entered into Judas, and Judas did what he wanted. Jesus, the man has to allow the demon to enter into him. Right? We can teach about that another one. But here, if Jesus talks about here, when the demon also wanted you, Peter. But I prayed for you. But when you are strengthened, when you are back, you have come back to me. He knows he is going to deny. He knows, Jesus knows that Peter is going to deny him 3 times. He'll put to a pressure. The pressure has caught him, and the pressure of the people, the pressure of the government, pressure of everyone who's there has put him there. He wants to be in the society also. The society has pressured him. If I am now saying, yes, I am Jesus Christ, they'll put him together with me, and they'll also crucify him dead and gone. No, I want to stay back. I want to be recognized by the society. I want to be accepted by the society. So he had to deny Jesus Christ 3 times. Then he knows, and Jesus said, when you come back to me, so when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. 3 times he said, he denied that. When you come back to me, strengthen your brother. So much so that when you see in Acts chapter 1, it's Peter who stood up. It says, Peter stood up and talked to strengthen every one of them who was in fear of the failure of Christ. They thought it's a failure of Christ. Do you know that? Jesus conquered everything. People were still thinking. That's why they all got together and waited. Now today, God is asking us to keep this. Whatever you are delivered from today, whatever you are delivered from failure from today inwards, whatever failure it can be, relationship, anything else, to keep it, strengthen your brethren. When you start strengthening your brethren, you reaffirm what God has done in your life. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. My mouth seems to be flying everywhere. So you must reach out to others. It's not about the failure. It's about what you are going to do. What is God going to do? So strengthen others itself. We must receive the restoration first, then strengthen everybody else. How do we receive restoration? We prayed a prayer just now. We'll pray today that God is going to do something mightily for us today. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. We must pass on the good news that God forgives us, heals us, and sets us free from all captivity. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he knows he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover the multitude of sins. Amen. So when you come back to God, you must be used by God. Just like Peter was used by God. When he came back, he strengthened every one of them. He went out to bring multitudes to God. Amen? Our failure should be a one today when we turn out today. Our failure, we should not be shy about failure. We should not be shameful about failure. Because failure, even great men failed. Great men failed. Even Jesus Christ at a time when he had to come through the cross, before the cross, he asked God. There was a small depression in him. There's a depression, or the physical body itself could not take it, that he had to ask. He thought he would fail. No. He asked God's will to be done upon his life. The purpose was fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, today,
our purpose. No one can stop us from our purpose. No one can stop. No powers of darkness. No emotions of our own. No hurts. No marks or scars that is in our mind of the hurts, of the emotions we have now will go away today. Amen? And that will be today free from what God said. What He says is true. And today we are truly delivered from spirit of failure. And every errors of failure. And every emotions of failure. And every mind that has got thoughts of failure. Every remembrance of failure is gone away today. We are walking. Whether you are still in failure, doesn't matter. You walk in the light of Christ. And God will raise you up mightily. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Father God. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to set us free from captivity of every bondages, every prison that we are in, Lord. Lord, we have received you, Lord Jesus. Every struggle of our emotions, of our past failures, every struggle of our mind and on the memory of our past failures, we surrender totally to you today, Lord Jesus. We bind every powers that comes along with those failures. We bind every negative spirit that comes along with those failures. We bind it today. We bind it today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let your precious blood, Lord Jesus, from today onwards, remove everything from failure today. That our life, Lord, will walk set free as a true Christian with the light that will shine. That our light, Lord, will not be dimmed by the remembrance or the emotions of the past failures. It shall be brighter from today onwards. That, Lord, wherever we walk, we will walk bravely with the success and the victory of yours. You are a God of victory. We claim that victory upon our life. And, Lord, you never remember. Your word says, Lord, you will never remember our past. So shall our mind and our emotions will not remember the past of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.